Welcome to the Steve Cochran Podcast. These are long-form conversations. We don't have the time on the air because this show just rushes by. And I invited my friend Adam Hogue back because we've got to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, but more about the Bears and what's going to happen in the offseason and beyond. Adam Hogue, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. I'm looking forward to maybe some longer answers here. This is nice.
Yeah, we got all sorts of room to stretch out. So you were in Atlanta all week for the Super Bowl. This game sort of had a sense of feeling anticlimactic long before it started.
Yeah.
Was the buzz during the week any different?
Well, I'll tell you just personally what was very interesting this year from my perspective and being on Radio Row was just the how much the Bears mattered more.
Mm-hmm.
So, like last year in Minnesota, they weren't that good. There weren't that many players floating around. And then this year, it was like not only were there so many more players, Bears players I'm talking about, around all week, but more people that I talked to just wanted to talk about Matt Nagy, wanted to talk about Mitchell Trubisky. There's just so many more storylines. So, it was funny as we get to Friday's show, and I'm like, I've hardly talked about the Super Bowl at all.
Right, because you had so much Bears material.
Exactly, and that's what our listeners really want to hear. But it was like, all right, now it's time to talk about the game. So the whole thing, just the actual game from my perspective, seemed a little anticlimactic all week. And then, of course, the game was a little bit of a dud, too.
But God, it was a stiff. But we were due for a stiff. The three out of the last four Super Bowls prior to this past one, this weekend, were great games.
Yeah, and we really hadn't had a bad one since the Seahawks just blew out the John Fox-led Denver Broncos a few years back. So, yeah, maybe we were due a little bit. I think, you know, there's definitely Patriots fatigue. You know, all these same people are at the Super Bowl every year like, come on, the Patriots again. But you got to have respect for what they do. They're just a well-oiled machine. You can't slow them down.
Producer Joe, your friend and mine, that's Super Joe from the Steve Cochran Show, will jump in here as well. But let's talk about the game here for a second. I don't know what happened, but what I know is what I saw. And what I saw were two defenses that were pretty good. They weren't stellar. They weren't spectacular. They didn't have epic games. But two really underperforming offenses, I mean, much more so the Rams. What do we now know about Jared Goff? He choked on the Bears earlier in the season. Did he choke yesterday? Or is this a better representation of what he does against real talent?
You know, everybody wants, and this is why football's so great, is because there's only one game a week, and everybody, you know, just the focus on every single play is so much greater than a hockey season where there's just, you know, thousands of plays happening every second, it seems like. So every decision a quarterback makes, especially that position, and every play they make, good or bad, gets amplified so much and gets analyzed. And that's sort of the nature of the game. I think Jared Goff is in a similar situation as Mitch Trubisky is right now, where you know, some weeks they look great, some weeks they look like they're young quarterbacks that are still trying to figure it out. And you know, I thought Jared Goff was great against the Saints. I was very, very impressed. 13-0, they're down in the first quarter. That building was loud. It looked like the Rams might get blown out, and he made some tremendous throws down the stretch. Sure, they got help from the officials there at the end, but Jared Goff put them in position to have a chance to get to overtime there and came through. So I was a little surprised then, and maybe I shouldn't have been because the Patriots are just so well coached to confuse other quarterbacks. But I was surprised that he looked that bad throughout that entire game. And unfortunately, he made his best throw of the game right at the end, and Brandon Cooks dropped the football in the end zone. But then he comes back with what I thought was just an idiotic throw to kind of go right back to the well on the same exact play, it looked like to me.
Well, it's a bad choice. If you don't take the sack, just get rid of the football.
Right, and the Patriots are going to be – you can't beat the Patriots
twice. Can't throw up a floater.
Exactly. So he was bad, and you know, now I'm sure in LA they're going to have all these conversations all offseason about whether or not he's the right quarterback for the franchise going forward. And this is what I talk about because, you know, as bad as the Bears' loss was to the Eagles, Mitch ended his season in such spectacular form, getting them in position to tie, that everybody's excited about Trubisky now the whole offseason. This is how football works, Steve.
Well, that's exactly right, as long as it works in our favor. Super Joe, did you think the Sean McVay quote was accurate? This is a coach of the Rams who's 11 years old, who said he felt bad because he got seriously outcoached. Do you think he got outcoached, or did his team suck?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of both. You know, there's a fine line between being unprepared and just getting out. I don't know. I they were outplayed, not necessarily outcoached. I think they out-executed, maybe. Maybe out-executed.
Yeah, because I was trying to come up with decisions that McVay made that hurt the Rams. Did I miss something, Adam Hook?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just a matter of maybe Bill Belichick was the better coach, because experience matters there too. I mean, we're talking about, in my opinion, the greatest coach ever.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Against a young, exciting coach in Sean McVay, who I think is going to be very, very good in this league for a long time, but he's still my age. I mean, he's 33 years old, and he's still got a lot to learn in this league. And so I didn't think there was anything glaring. In fact, you know, there was a couple times throughout the game where Tony Romo, who was calling the game for CBS, would point out, oh, man, Jared Goff missed this guy wide open, and they run this concept all the time, and it worked, and he just didn't throw the ball to the right guy. Well, that's not the coach's fault then.
Right.
That's on the quarterback. The players still need to execute.
So there's a lot of talk about the Bears. The Bears, I believe, are 14-1 for the Super Bowl next year. That's the earliest odds possible. That's the immediate post-game odds. A million things can happen between now and then. But you tell me who wants the Bears on their schedule. I tell you nobody.
No, I think, and that actually started to develop this year. I mean, yeah, I think, first of all, there's nobody happier that Cody Parkey missed that field goal than Sean McVay and the Rams. Because I know they didn't want to have the Bears come to town.
Sure.
The following week. That would have been a much harder game than they got against the Cowboys. Nobody wants to have to scheme against Khalil Mack, who's not going anywhere. He signed for another 5 years to that massive extension. And that's really how I look at this Bears window right now, actually. It's the Khalil Mack window. So he signs a 6-year contract. That's your 6-year window. Now we're down to 5 here. But this offense should take a step forward. And the schedule to me is fascinating because it's going to be a lot harder. The Bears play, I forget the exact number, but it seems like most of the teams that were in the playoffs this year, they're going to have to go to LA and play the Rams, for instance, and they host the Chiefs, which could end up being a Super Bowl preview. There's going to be a lot of really fun games to watch next season, but I think the Bears are going to be even better than they were this year, and it's going to be a fun ride.
One last bit of Bears news from the Super Bowl. Matt Nagy's coach of the year. Who finished second?
Actually, Anthony Lynn, the Chargers head coach, finished second, which surprised a lot of people because many people thought that the Colts head coach Frank Reich should actually win the award. He ended up getting less votes than Anthony Lynn did, and as it turned out, Matt Nagy got 24 votes, and I think Lynn got 10. So it was a runaway train. Nagy was clearly the coach of the year, and I think they got that one right.
You know, and Super Joe, jump on this as well. The thing that we as sports fans have, as opposed to you guys who cover sports all the time, is we get to be fickle, and we get to have short-term memory. You know, Pace was a genius this year because things worked out. He was an idiot prior to this year. In many fans' minds, the Nagy hire was questioned initially, and I'd say it worked out pretty well. But he made some interesting moves this year and some interesting mistakes. Second half of the opener with the Packers, some bizarre calls and things. So he's probably on that learning curve too, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I think Matt Nagy is, got plenty still to learn, and he'll tell you as much. But look, I just look at the fact that throughout the year, the amount of things that maybe we were questioning, being a head coach in the NFL is so hard. There's so many decisions you have to make throughout a game, and it's so easy as fans to sit there and go, oh, why'd he call that timeout there? That clock management was stupid. Why'd he kick that field goal? Why'd he do this? Why'd he do that? I want to say there were maybe 3 or 4 moments like that all season that we were really talking about. I mean,
that's pretty good.
I didn't like how he settled for the field goal in Miami, the 53-yard field goal. Cody Parkey had been shaky up to that point, even though that was early in the year. And just settling for 53 yards, I thought you try to run a couple more plays there, get a few more yards, and he just seemed content. So that was one of them. But really, I thought overall the clock management, the challenges, there's so much to be excited about for a guy doing it for the first time to have that clean of a season. I was really, really impressed with Matt Nagy, just from not just what he did culturally for the team and everything he did, club dub, all that, getting the players to buy in, but even schematically and decision with his decision-making throughout the games. I was really impressed.
Super Joe, you like Nagy?
You know, I really like the hire of Nagy, and I like the way that he picked a head coach that meshed with his quarterback. And, you know, I think the serious lack of excitement throughout the organization after the John Fox era, it was important to bring in a guy who was going to pump some life into the entire, you know, not just the team, but the fan base as well. And Matt Nagy has done an excellent job of that this year.
So, Pace, genius or genius year? What do you think, Adam Hogue?
I think a little bit of both, but one thing that I'll say that was, I wrote a big piece in December of 2017 on him, which at that point, everyone understands John Fox is about to get fired. A lot of people were questioning what Ryan Pace had done, and I went through it, and I basically analyzed every single move he had made, you know, in his first 3 years, and they weren't all great, but I think what you saw was, if you really looked at the big picture, he had done overhauled so much over 3 years that most of the, if you're going to weigh the good versus the good greatly outweighed the bad, and he had changed the culture in the locker room, and he had put the Bears in position where if he had a good 2018, they could really take off. And then, of course, he had an outstanding 2018 that starts with the head coaching hire, Matt Nagy, who was really the perfect guy that Ryan Pace needed to gel it all together, because that's still the head coach's job, to set the culture and to put all the wheels in motion. But Pace then overhauls the wide receiver position very, very quickly, which he vowed he could do. At the combine, he said he thought that the wide receiver position was something you can change in one offseason, and he did it, and it was perfect. And then the guy pulled off the Khalil Mack trade, and he doesn't win Executive of the Year somehow. I think you should win it automatically just on the Khalil Mack trade. It was such a big trade in this, not just for the season in the NFL, but we hadn't seen a trade like that in the NFL in a really, really long time. And he got it done, and I'm still amazed. He somehow got a second-round pick back out of that whole thing that the Bears are going to have a year from now. So I thought he had an outstanding year, and honestly, I think he's had a really good 4 years. It was just hard for a lot of people to see it until they finally started winning.
Who was your favorite Radio Row guest, and you know who from the Bears made their way through there?
So my favorite guess, it's kind of a boring answer because I just say Brian Urlacher, but it was actually because of the interview. Brian Urlacher had a young woman named Bree Bogutsky with him, and she's a Special Olympian from Illinois, and she was just out. She's 19 years old and was just so inspiring. And together, then Brian Urlacher, you know, he's always pretty good, and he had some great things to say about the Bears. But together, that was just a really, really fun interview. And then anytime you get to interview a guy like Jerry Rice was also an honor.
What did he ever do?
Yeah, he just... Although, you know what's funny is I brought up his playoff record for receptions that Julian Edelman might actually break here in the future, and he Joe, you were there. I think he thought Michael Irvin was second still. He didn't have the right order for his own record, which I thought was interesting.
Well, he's not completely wrapped up in it. I guess that's good.
Yeah. And I'm sure he doesn't have a list of each of the records. He probably...
Wouldn't it be funny if he walked around with his Wikipedia page? Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, so there's a story, though, that Julian Edelman actually dated Jerry Rice's daughter in high school. And so there's a little bit of a rivalry between them.
Yeah, I would say. Especially if he dumped her. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Bears 2019-2020, because, yeah, it's going into the playoffs and directly to the Super Bowl. The easy out here is we got to get a better kicker. Obviously, that's not the only area to address, but let me start with that. Yeah. Any chance Corky comes back, and don't tell me that's not his real name because it is.
I would say the chances of Cody Parkey coming back are less than 5%. You know, one thing I've been really trying to gauge is his teammates' reaction to everything that happened. And I had a chance to sit down with Prince Amukamara this week, Trey Burton, Akeem Hicks. And because of the culture Matt Nagy has built and this whole we versus me thing, as long as Cody Parkey's employed by the Bears, they're not going to go, you know, on the record and crush the guy, right? Because
right.
He's still a teammate.
Right.
And they don't want to fall into the same trap.
But they couldn't have been happy about the Today Show interview, for instance.
Right. Some of the other conversations I've had, and they've said the right things on the record, but I also think that they've all hinted to, like, hey, man, We sat there in the moments following the game and hugged you and lifted you up and supported you.
Right.
And then you went against what the Bears wanted you to do. The Bears did not want him to do that Today Show interview. I know that for a fact. And he goes against what the Bears' wishes were and has this whole, like, hey, look at me, this whole redemption story type thing. And I think a lot of his teammates just looked at it like, come on, man, we just all had your back, and now you're going against the team here. And so I think, you know, the Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy have made it very clear the guy type of guys they want in the locker room. And even though it's going to cost a lot of money to get rid of Cody Parkey, I think that that's why he will not be a Chicago Bear next season. And then the big question is, who will they bring in?
Well, do you do Robbie Gould for a year and see if he can stretch it out to two, maybe? I mean, you know, he's not a kid anymore.
Well, I sat down with Robbie Gould this week. That was another one of the great conversations we had this week. He wants more than a one-year contract. He made that very clear. In fact, I went back and listened to the interview. I think he threatened to hold out if the 49ers placed the franchise tag on him.
We were talking about that on the air, and I think you were in Atlanta, so I doubt you heard it. But I can't think of a time when a kicker has had a franchise tag. It's probably happened, I guess, but I can't think of when it would have been.
Yeah, I need to go back and look that up too. But it's cheaper than all the other positions. You're still over. Whenever you use the franchise tag, you're overpaying for that position.
Right.
That's how it's set up. But you know, it's still way cheaper to franchise tag a kicker than it is a quarterback. Right. So it's a possibility. But I do know Robbie made it very clear in his interview with me and other interviews he has done. He wants to be back in Chicago. His family lives here. He doesn't want to have to move his kids around. I think the bigger question is the ball's clearly in the Bears' court. So it's a money thing. Can you invest a total of $8 million in a kicker, adding in what you're going to eat from Cody Parkey's contract? Or is there any bad blood there? I don't think there's any bad blood on Robbie's side. But I still think there was more than just money that went into him being cut by the Bears in the first place. And even though John Fox has moved on and Jeff Rogers, the old Bears special teams coordinator, he's moved on, Ryan Pace is still the general manager. So is that still a factor here? And I honestly don't know the answer to that question right now.
Super Joe, other than Corky the kicker, what's the number one area the Bears need to address?
Well, I would actually defer to Adam, but in my opinion, even after signing Bobby Massey to a four-year extension, I would say that they need to address the tackle position, whether that's as a swing tackle or just to groom a guy to get ready for when they eventually get rid of Bobby Massey. And then I also think that they need to address the secondary. They could use a slot corner, depending on if Bryce Callahan leaves, and then a safety if Adrian Amos leaves.
Yeah, I think it's a secondary. You know, one of the reasons why I like Ryan Pace is because he seems to be a guy who understands really how this whole constructing a roster long-term deal works. You know, people forget the NFL more than any other sport is built in a way to basically have every team go 8-8. That's what actually makes what the Patriots have done so remarkable, that they've been able to sustain success this long, because the NFL is really designed to keep teams on an equal footing. And what we're going to start to talk about here a lot in Chicago is, now that the Bears have success, how they fit all this money in under the salary cap. So when you have a guy like Bobby Massey at right tackle, who's not an all-pro by any means, but he's also not terrible, and you understand, here's a guy we can lock up who's pretty solid and not create an extra problem for us by letting him hit the open market, I think that's why they did that. You can't have all pros at every single position. That's just not how the league works. Somehow the Patriots still manage to win Super Bowls, even though you can't name half the players on the roster, and they churn them every single year. But I agree, Joe. The secondary, I think they need to start creating some more depth at cornerback. I think the Bears were honestly very fortunate this year that Prince Amukamara only missed two games. If Kyle Fuller had gone down, that would have been a disaster. They just did not have a whole lot of depth at that position. And when Bryce Callahan went down, Sherrick McManus played the best football he's ever played for the Bears, which was huge. But they do need to figure this all out. Is Adrian Amos going to be back at safety? So there's some big question marks in the secondary as we head into the offseason.
And Joe, if you had all the money in the world and the ability to buy anybody in the NFL, who would you buy for the Bears?
I'd bring Charles Woodson out of retirement.
And shoot him full of youth juice of some kind?
No, he doesn't need that. He could dominate anytime, anywhere. No problem.
Are the Packers going to recover next year, Adam Hoke?
I don't think they're going to recover to a level that they can win the Super Bowl. As long as they have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, they have a chance. I do think, though, that as much as they tried to copy the Bears' blueprint this offseason by hiring a young head coach, their young offensive head coach, and keep their defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, which is basically exactly what the Bears did last year, hiring Matt Nagy and keeping Vic Fangio. The big difference is that the Bears roster was actually in much better shape to compete than the Packers roster is. The difference is they have Aaron Rodgers, and he's the ultimate equalizer and has been for a really long time there in Green Bay. So they'll be tough, but I at this point, I don't think they're a playoff team.
How about it? It's the end of this season, and we're already in a position where you can say the Packers are chasing the Bears.
No question. No question. The Bears are the team to beat in the NFC North. It's not going to be easy. The Vikings are still good, but hey, the Bears, there's going to be a lot of people picking the Bears to win the Super Bowl next season.
Speaking of Vikings, my old friend Wade Wilson passed away on Friday at the age of 60 on his birthday. And he was a great guest and pal, and it's just a sad story. Have you heard anything more about what happened there?
I haven't, but he coached for the Bears for a little bit, too.
Yeah, quarterback coach for a couple of years.
I just know that it was not expected. It didn't seem like it, because that news came through. That was on Friday, right? That news kind of, it was sort of a little bit of a small wave that made its way through Radio Row on Friday down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, he was a good guy. By the way, I'll tell you a quick Wade Wilson story about Rex Grossman. He was tasked with coaching Rex Grossman right around the time that he, Wade, would be suspended for a PED thing. Now, later, the suspension actually came down later with the Cowboys. But in the process of talking to the Cowboys and talking to Wade about the suspension, they went backwards to the previous 2 years with the Bears. And the questioning in the NFL office was, Wade, did any of this go on with the Bears? Was there any performance-enhancing situation with the Bears? Did you import any PEDs for the Bears, say for Rex Grossman? And Wade said, do you think if I had those, I wouldn't have given them to him? It's pretty funny. Pretty funny.
Oh, that is pretty good.
If it's not the Bears, well, let me go at it from this direction. If it's not the Chiefs, who are the Bears playing in the Super Bowl next year?
Why not the Patriots?
Right?
I mean
come on, it's
answer.
Idiotic.
As long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are together, I talked a little bit about you earlier today on your radio show, Steve. I mean, I don't think people realize how close this was to getting blown up in the spring, and all they need is two guys, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. It doesn't matter that their first round pick Isaiah Wynn gets torn Achilles early in the year. It doesn't matter that Josh Gordon comes for a few weeks, looks great, and then goes back away because of his substance abuse issues. I mean, it didn't matter that Julian Edelman was suspended. They just keep coming back. And so, they were my preseason pick to come out of the AFC just because it's boring. It's the easy pick to pick the Patriots every year. And honestly, you know, it's stupid to go against them. And for some reason, I still did. I picked the Rams to beat them.
You know, obviously it's impressive that the Patriots have done what they've done over the last two decades. But do you think it's weird that, you know, even though they've been to 9 Super Bowls, Brady and Belichick, that they haven't had the one dominant team? You know, I would say their best team didn't win a Super Bowl, the one that went undefeated and then lost to the Giants.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the only team that Brady's lost to in a Super Bowl, right? The Giants twice.
The Giants twice, yeah.
Well, the Eagles last year.
Good point. What would you say about the Patriots as a whole, as far as, you know, going down in history as one of the best teams? Not organization overall, but like, can you pick out one team that's the best to ever do it?
Like one specific year of the Patriots?
Right.
No, I think you're right. Like I don't know that any of their teams have been, you know, if you were to rank like the top 100 teams of all time, I mean, where do they all fall in? Probably that 16-0 team was their best team. You're absolutely right, Joe. And, I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about how this league is just built in a way that it's really, really hard to sustain success. So, it obviously takes an outstanding coach and an outstanding quarterback, first and foremost, to maneuver all of these hurdles that you encounter through, not only throughout an offseason as you're trying to build your team under the CBA and the salary cap, but throughout the season that, you know, I think the 16-0 team not winning the Super Bowl just shows how hard it still is once you get in the playoffs and get in the game to win it all. And yet they've done it six times. So, you know, 6-3 in these 9 Super Bowls, that's a tremendous record, even though they've lost 3 of them. And I just, it's hard to give them enough respect as much as we hate doing it because they're the Patriots, but they deserve everything.
Can you imagine how miserable Tom Brady and Bill Belichick will be when they retire? I mean, they love football more than anything else. I mean, Belichick would probably be a bigger creep than he already is.
And it gets back to what Matt Nagy said the first day he sat down in Chicago, this idea of obsession. You know, you whether it's and Nagy doesn't just talk about it in terms of football, but it's like whatever you do in life. You know, we love radio. That's why we do it. We're obsessed with doing radio. And if you're obsessed at something, there's a good chance you're going to be pretty good at it.
Yeah,
so that's what he's preaching right now with the Chicago Bears. And they all want players that they love football. And every year when we talk about the NFL draft, that is the number one thing that these evaluators are trying to learn from these players. They can watch the tape, but they want to know when they sit down with these kids, how much do you love football? Or do you just want the money? Do you just want the big contract that's going to come out of this? Do you actually love playing football? And I think Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, we have learned over the years, these two are more obsessed than anybody. And it's downright weird sometimes, but it has resulted in a ton of success on the football field.
I'm going Bears-Chiefs. Bears-Chiefs next year, we'll be talking about a Bears win and a squeaker, though I will several times hear my favorite phrase from a sportscaster, touchdown Kansas City!
Well, let me give you, okay, let's just fast forward a year. Let me give you the storylines here. Okay, one, we have Matt Nagy going up against Andy Reid.
Uh-huh.
So you got the protege versus mentor. That's
yep.
Awesome. That would be great. You got similar offenses. You got Patrick Mahomes versus Mitchell Trubisky.
Two young kid quarterbacks.
Same draft class.
Yep.
Bears passed on Mahomes. Now they got Trubisky. They're both in the Super Bowl. Love that storyline. And then we keep it going. You guys know February 2nd, 2020. That is the Super Bowl date. Happens to be in Miami. That's the last time the Bears were in the Super Bowl. It was in Miami.
Wow, it all works out, doesn't it?
February 2nd. It's not only Matt Nagy's anniversary, which we learned over the weekend, that he won Coach of the Year, so he could win the Super Bowl on his anniversary next year. It is also George Halas's birthday in the 100th season not only the NFL, the Chicago Bears.
It's meant to be. Why even play the regular season? Let's go straight to the playoffs.
Let's do it right now.
If people want to read you in the offseason, where do they go?
WGNradio.com/Bears. And I think I'm going to have something like 4,000 words going up on the website.
Got a lot to say.
All of our Super Bowl coverage. And most of it's Bears related, actually. So there's going to be plenty to read on WGNradio.com/Bears.
And until football, you're all about the White Sox. You'll be doing those games as well.
Pitchers and catchers report, I think, in like 8 days.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's just crazy.
Pretty good. The groundhog can go jump in the lake. That's when spring starts for me.
Yes.
It's Adam Hogue. Super Joe, how did Adam Hogue do?
Oh, I'd say a 10 out of 10.
A 10 Ooh. Out of 10?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as far as you know, there was only one edit in this entire podcast.
Yeah. You know, I would give a different number, but I think if it were different, then we'd start to argue about it, and I just kind of want to wrap it up.
Takes too long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just takes too long.
Was that edit when I swore?
No, the edit was when Joe forgot to turn his microphone on.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Adam Hogue, thank you, man. I appreciate the time, and the Steve Cochran podcast is on. Tell your friends all about it. You can get them all at WGNradio.com. And the Hogue and Johns podcast, I assume during football season mostly, but you'll find Adam Hogue here at WGNradio.com all the time as well. Enjoy your day. Bye-bye.